Hello, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have two first-time guests on with me today. I have Miss Holly Williams, but messed up already, and Miss Kelly Clarkson. Thank y'all for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I'm excited to learn about and to talk about everything good going on with Area Agencies on Aging and Disability, AAAD. So Area Agencies on Aging and Disability is a role, and Holly, I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
Going back to, I guess, when I started in county government in 2005-06 with the development district, and I started with CTAS, and I would come to the development district. Kelly, I think this is the first time you and I officially have spoken.
Yes.
Maybe. So good to meet you and glad you're here.
Very nice to meet you.
Before we talk about AAAD, I want to know about y'all.
Okay.
And even though I've known you for a while, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you've been. I don't know all that stuff. And
sure.
So let's, Holly, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Where'd you grow up?
So from the age of three, I have been right here in Cookeville, actually in Rickman.
Okay.
When I was 3 years old, we moved here from Indiana to Rickman, lived there for several years, and went to Northeast Elementary School. Kelly and I both did.
Yep.
So,
wow.
Yes.
What's the mascot there?
Trojans.
Trojans, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, Northeast
right.
Trojans.
There you go.
And so anyhow, been lived here, you know, for almost 50, going on 50 years, won't say exactly, not quite that many, but pretty darn close. This is home. Cookeville is definitely home. Moved away for a short time, missed Cookeville, the Upper Cumberland region, and couldn't wait to get back. So,
where'd you move to?
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, I had family down in Florida, and always wanted, when I was younger, I thought Florida was just the place to be.
Yeah.
And after college, graduated from Tennessee Tech University, and decided my future husband moved to Florida. He got a job down there, so I said, this is perfect opportunity.
Sure.
Family down there, he's down there. So we experienced that for a short time, and then we both couldn't wait to get back to this
just
area.
Just wasn't the
so,
same.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you want to come back home?
We're outdoor people.
Yeah.
We love to be outdoors. And Florida just does not quite have the opportunities that Tennessee and the Upper Cumberland in particular has when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can only go to the beach so much, is what I've told many people over the years. There's only so much of that you can handle. And in the summertime, it's so hot, you don't even want to do that.
Yeah.
So being back here, we get to enjoy the beautiful lakes and all of the state parks and waterfalls and everything this area has to offer. So,
yeah. That's why a lot of people either stay here or come here.
Yeah.
Right? So, Kelly, what about you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Cookeville. In the city limits my entire life.
Wow. Like in the city limits.
In the city limits. Probably a mile and a half from the square.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. Lived here, went away to college to Knoxville, and decided that Cookeville wasn't half bad.
Yeah.
And moved back. I lived in West Tennessee for a little while to do a couple of internships and work for my dad. And moved back and started a business and did that for almost 13 years. And when I closed, I went over to the development district and been there almost 15. So,
wow. And so, yeah. And Holly, you've been at the development district how long?
I've been there 24 years.
24.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you started when you were 12.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
So I guess we all three have something in common. I moved away after college to Nashville for a career and hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, just did not. That's just not my style, like you all.
Right.
Cookeville and Baxter to me was a lot. It was peaceful to me. And so, I work in Nashville quite a bit, but I can't wait to get back home.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So all three of us have roots here, which I love the fact that we're on the show and we can talk about some of that stuff because it all plays into why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know family wise, but
sure.
You said you're married, kids?
Yes, no children.
No children, okay.
Married, yes. My husband's from Roane County.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we met here at Tennessee Tech while we were both in college.
Yep.
We actually met at Burgess Falls Nursery. We were both working there as a college job, and his degree's in horticulture. So I just decided I wanted to work there because I could be outside and. Any opportunity to do that, that's what I wanted to do. So anyway, that's how we met, and we are very proud of our Tennessee Tech University degrees.
Yeah, that's what you call it.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, it's alumni, because I am too. And of course,
yeah.
UTK, right?
Yes, if I hadn't have lived in Cookeville and been a couple of miles from the college.
Yes.
I always told somebody, I said, if I can walk there from my home, I didn't want to go there. And so I went away to school and really enjoyed it and appreciated Cookeville a lot more when I came back.
Yeah.
Didn't realize how good we had it until I left.
And yeah.
Right.
Well, I love that perspective. I mean, I was either, it was between UT and TTU for me. And, and when my parents said, hey, we'll clean your, do your laundry, we'll cook your meals, you'll have to get a part-time job. If you want to stay here, you can. I thought, oh, my God, well, I'm going to stay at home. You know, and so I didn't leave their house until I graduated college.
Right.
So, family, Kelly?
My mom lives here. I have two brothers. Awesome. They live in, one lives in West Tennessee, one lives in Jackson, Mississippi, and I have a sister in Jackson, Tennessee. So.
Awesome. Well, I got to ask, you know, Amy and I have been married since 2008. We don't have kids either. So does everybody have dogs or pets?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Have two dogs right now. Okay. Two fish tanks. Can't leave the fish out, you know.
Yeah.
But what kind of dogs? Yes. We have one that is Australian Shepherd, Siberian Husky mix, high energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other, she is a Heinz 57 for sure in every way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kelly, I pets? Don't have animals. I live on a busy street.
Well, it's there you
just, go. Yeah. I like to travel.
We have two dogs and we love to travel, but I have parents that say, bring them down here.
So. I must say I have my parents live here as well. They did move for a period of time down to the Gulf Shores, Orange Beach area, have in the past year and a half made it back to Cookeville full time. So I'm very happy that they're back here in town.
Yeah.
And so they're obviously, I'm very close to them. I'm an only child, very close to my parents, and they're a large part of the reason why I do what I do every day.
Well, and let's talk about that. Of course, you've been at the Development District for a little while. Both of y'all have really and put in some service. So why have you always done that, Holly, at the Development District on aging? Have you always served in that department?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
So what lured you to that when you were looking for a career and you decided, hey, I'm going to go to the Development District? Mm-hmm. What made you pick area on aging?
There's a couple reasons. When I was at Tennessee Tech, it was actually my senior year at Tech. My degree is in nutrition and dietetics. As part of one of my classes, they gave us the opportunity to assist with the home delivered meal program. So I became a volunteer with that particular program, started taking meals to those who are homebound, actually would go to the Cookeville Senior Center to pick up the meals and would deliver them to the residents across the street at the Walnut Village complex. And I quickly realized multiple things about that particular service and the population it was serving. One, I'm just drawn to the older population. I just love spending time with them. But also seeing how much they appreciated that meal being delivered to them each day, but also the companionship.
Right.
So many of them that I would deliver to, there was probably about 15 to 20 that I would deliver to each time. And I had a route that was my route that I took care of. And so I got to know each of them very well. There were certain ones who really looked forward to that socialization opportunity as much as they did the meal. Yep. And so I would make sure that as I did my route, that I would put those particular residents at the end of my route so I could spend more time with them. And I just really enjoyed that. That made an impression upon me. Now, going further back, when I was young, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, my grandmother in particular. She was a major influence in my life. When I was also younger, my mother worked at the Development District. She was a long-term care ombudsman, and I had exposure to the agency at a very young age. My dad at that same time was working for Pacesetters, so he was serving a slightly different population, but in a way, very similar needs that they have. So, you know, their experiences and that exposure that I had, along with my inner desire to work with those older adults, is really what led me in that direction.
So I love that. And my grandparents and I were very close. Think about them every day. There's something that happens to me every day, mostly good, that makes me think about my grandmas or my granddaddy or whatever, you know, and just that time that I had with them. You don't realize when you're a kid.
No, not at all.
Or a teenager.
Right. Yeah.
even, that's really precious time.
It is.
Yeah. And so, my last grandparent died 10 years ago. So I've missed them every day since then.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that you started as a volunteer. You got to know what the Development District and UCHRA, what they do so much for our communities. I've had people on to talk about it, but that inspired you to continue that service, right?
Exactly.
So, Kelly, what about you?
So, I grew up here. My mom's parents lived here. My dad's parents lived in North Georgia. And I spent an incredible amount of time with both sets of grandparents. And like Holly, I just had that love for older people. And my grandmother in Georgia would go visit. She was a secretary at an elementary school. And in the summer, she would go visit at the nursing homes. And I would usually spend a couple of weeks every summer. And we just sort of had a route. And we would go, to arts and crafts and play bingo with them and just visit, because a lot of times they didn't have family that would go see them. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that I did. And my grandmother lived, my other grandmother lived here in Cookeville, and spent a lot of time with her, and she just had a lot of friends, and we would go visit them. And so I was, I was very comfortable with older people and enjoyed that. And so when my grandmother that lived here in Cookeville, she got older, and she had a stroke, and I had a business at the time, and my mom was her primary caregiver, and I realized I just needed to do something else instead of working 80 hours a week. And was very fortunate to start part-time at the Development District in the Aging Department. And
wow.
Here I am almost 15 years later.
That's great. I love the fact about what you're doing, both of y'all. I have Miss Holly Williams, Miss Kelly Clarkson here with me on Local Matters. We're talking about the Area for Aging and Disability, AAAD as we call it, and that's through Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities, technical term, and that's through the Development District here, one of the many services the Development District provides, and we're so thankful for that. We'll be back in just a moment after this break here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Miss Holly Williams and Miss Kelly Clarkson from the Area Agencies on Aging and Disability, AAAD. It's the division through the state, but they work at the Development District. And I want you to break down how that works in just a second. But the stories you've already shared about why you do what you do and serving our senior population, right? People that have laid the groundwork and foundation for us to do the things we do, and by working hard or by serving themselves, I think it's just it's necessary what you all do. It's important to us continuing to have a good quality of life here, and their quality of life being the best it possibly can be, right?
Exactly.
So let's talk about what does AAAD do for this area, and how do you all work in the Upper Cumberland?
Okay. So I'll start with how the AAADs are structured in the state of Tennessee. We actually now fall under a department that it's a new department that just went into effect July 1st of 2024. It's the Department of Disability and Aging. Prior to that, we were under the Tennessee Commission on Aging and Disability. So we're very excited about the fact that we're now part of a state department.
Right.
So those funds actually come from that state department to the Development District here in the Upper Cumberland. Across the state of Tennessee, there are 9 area agencies on aging and disability. And across the state, most of the AAADs are housed within a development district, but not necessarily all areas, but the majority of them are across the state of Tennessee. But that's how we're structured within the state. We do cover 14 counties here in the Upper Cumberland, and our primary target groups that we serve are older adults who are over the age of 60. Low income is a priority for us to make sure that we're really trying to meet the needs of those individuals who are of low income status. We also serve those who are under the age of 60, adults age 18 to 59, depending on the type of program and service it is that we're looking at that they might need assistance with. But 18 to 59 for those who have a physical disability. And then a third category that we really try to focus on are family caregivers, those who are trying to support loved ones in their homes and need some assistance in that way. So those really are the three primary groups that we're targeting.
How many people right now are you all serving, would you say, roughly?
Well, so we have a wide variety of service providers that we contract with to help us provide many of the services that we offer. A network that provides a lot of services and really touches a lot of people at the local level are our senior centers. Some of them now refer to themselves as activity centers. But we have 19 senior centers or activity centers across the Upper Cumberland. There's at least one in every county. Some counties such as Putnam have more than one. But when you take into account the number of people that the senior centers reach and then our other providers that we contract with, we're touching around 10,000 or so people each year through different avenues, through in-home services, through senior center, through Medicare counseling, all these different programs that we offer.
Are there times where seniors or those that have a physical disability mm-hmm. reach out to you all and just say, where can I go for help with anything?
Absolutely.
All the time. Yeah.
Is it a phone call? Is it an email?
It can be any of the above. Okay. I mean, some people will drop by. Some people will call. Sometimes we have, information and assistance. It's a hotline that's good throughout the state. And so that call will be directed to the area that they're in. And we just sort of try to figure out what they might need. Sometimes they don't even know what they need.
Yeah.
And so we'll just sit down and talk to them and sort of make a list and, you know, or even, I can't think of the word, screen them for in-home services or just direct them to where they might need. So,
I mean, Upper Cumberland's a big area, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, from north to south, it's quite a bit of ground. How many people do you have in that department?
We have 35.
35.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, are you the director, Holly?
Yes.
Official director?
Mm-hmm.
And your title, Kelly?
I'm the assistant director.
Assistant director, perfect.
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought. I don't want to mess that
yes.
up. But so you, what is, let's just, Holly, for you, what is a mm-hmm. day-to-day, what does it look like every day for you doing your job?
There is no day-to-day.
It's always different.
We're at the mercy of everybody else, and that's yeah. what we're there yeah. for, is to
yeah.
We talk about this all the time. We're there to support everybody, that are the rest of our staff and our providers that need us every day. And we can come into the office tomorrow morning and have our agenda for the day. However,
sometimes
really,
we just throw it away.
That might last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And just because of all the different programs that we do administer and the staff and providers that we have, there's always different things that are coming up that the staff has questions about or needs some guidance. And so that, honestly, is what we're doing most of the time
yeah.
each day, is fielding those questions and in meetings, a
right.
lot of meetings that we're in with a variety of groups almost daily. And so our network across the state is very tight. From, you know, the area agencies across the state, we are a very tight network. And we're bouncing ideas off of each other, best ways that we can meet the needs of the clients we serve, advocating for more funding on a regular basis, because there's definitely a shortage of funds to meet the demands, especially, I mean, as long as I've been at the Development District, we've had a waiting list for in-home services, for example. Today, that waiting list is around 800 or so people who we know need that assistance, but there's just not enough funding. And as we look forward, we know that population is going to continue to grow, and there's going to be a continued need for funding, more funding, the federal and state level. And so, you know, a lot of what we do is trying to maximize the funds that we have so we can serve as many people as possible, but also advocating for more funding, more new services, you name it, because needs change too.
So your revenue sources are federal and state funded,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all go about advocating for that? Do you send a lobbyist to this Capitol and say, please give us more money, or do you do that yourself?
So we can advocate. We cannot directly lobby. The development districts across the state of Tennessee do have a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a resource that we have. But, you know, we're talking to our elected
yeah.
officials, making them aware of our agency and our needs.
We educate a lot on services. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't know the service might be or what it provides.
Yeah, and I'm hoping the one of the benefit for y'all being here, because some of our legislators actually listen to this show because they've been on it. Mm-hmm. If they don't know, they I need to ask Holly or Kelly some more questions about what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself in the Upper Cumberland competing for state and federal dollars against other areas in the state for aging and disability? Does it have to become a competition, or can they be equitable about it?
Well, the way our state office allocates funding, there's what's called a funding formula that is based upon certain criteria. So it's based upon the 60-plus population within the district, how many are low income, if you're considered a rural area or not, the number that are disabled.
Right.
The number that's over the age of 85. So there's a lot of different criteria, and based upon our demographics, that's how the funding comes to our agency.
But you don't feel like you have to go compete, because that formula exists, right? So if the state follows the formula, okay, perfect.
Exactly.
That's great information. Mm-hmm. This is Ben Rogers here on Local Matters. I have Ms. Holly Williams. She's the director. And I have Ms. Kelly Clarkson, the assistant director for AAAD, the Area for Aging and Disability within the state of Tennessee and Development District. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers, excited to have Ms. Holly Williams, the executive director for the Area of Aging and Disability, and Ms. Kelly Clarkson, the assistant director. Just great information so far on what the program does here in the Upper Cumberland. And as you said, there's nine areas across the state, nine agencies across the state that provide the same service. So we talked about the demographic and who you serve, and it's mostly people over 60, but there is a group between, you said, 18 and 59, right?
That's correct.
That's got physical disabilities that you may be serving. So let's talk about the program. So what's one of your most popular or needed programs from your customers or from your service area?
Sure. One of the most popular is what we refer to as home and community-based services, which really encompasses a whole host of different services in the home. And these services are for anyone age 18 and above. There are different federal and state programs that support these services. So when someone calls our agency, as Kelly was talking, they'll talk to our information assistance staff, and they'll start out by doing a telephone screening with them. That usually takes 15 or 20 minutes to just kind of get a feel for this person's needs, their financial situation, et cetera. And at that point, they're talking with them about the different types of services they can get in the home. The most common ones, the ones that we consider the core services, are homemaker assistance. So someone that comes in and does some light housekeeping. They can go and do grocery shopping, run other errands for the person. But mainly it's tasks in the home, keeping the home clean and a safe environment for them. Personal care is another very popular service. We do not provide medical care. This is when we talk about personal care. This is help with bathing, help with dressing, those types of activities. The third most common one's the home-delivered meals. So this is a hot or frozen meal that is delivered to the individual's home. If it's a hot meal, it's delivered on a daily basis. If it's frozen, that's usually once every 2 weeks that's taken to them. Those are the core services. We have other services that we offer for those who qualify for those types of programs. There's the emergency response system. So it's a pendant or the watch they can wear if they were to fall or be in distress and they need assistance. They could just push the button. We also offer medication management. We have a grocery assistance program, which has become very popular. We started this during COVID as an experimental program with our housing department, and it really was a huge success during that period of time, because the population we were serving did not want to get out any more than what they had to be exposed to COVID. Groceries, everything has become so much more expensive. So we started that service with the housing department at the development district, and we expanded that after a couple of years to serve all 14 counties and anybody living in their own home. So with that one, we are actually paying for $150 worth of groceries per month for that client. And then we have providers that we contract with who provide these services, and they collect the list, they do the shopping, and they deliver it to the individual's home. So those are the more common services that we provide in the home. Information assistance is what I always refer to as the backbone of our agency. when somebody's calling, as Kelly said, a lot of times they are not sure what really mm-hmm. their needs are. So information assistants will talk with them about, you know, the different services we offer in our department, but also the services available in the other departments there, human resource agency. And that kind of gets them thinking about, okay, yes, I need help in this way. And yeah, yes, I could use that. I could use help paying my electric bill. I could use help, you know, with some weatherization. I can commodities. I might need help, you know, with groceries in other ways too. And so they'll connect them up with those resources. But a lot of times, you know, there's resources outside of our agency that they can be connected up as well. So we have ucassist.org that the development district manages. It's a resource directory, online resource directory. And so they'll tap into that resource directory to connect these individuals with other resources outside of what we offer. It might be housing, other housing options. It might be transportation. Those are very common needs that we see. Help paying for their medicine.
It can go by county too. Mm-hmm. So they can just click on the county that they need, mm-hmm. and the resources for that county will come up as well. So,
right.
Yeah. Sure. And we have the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. A lot of people know about that program, especially in the fall during the open enrollment period. They're trying to figure out what the best solution for their medication through Medicare is. And so we helped, probably 12 or 1300 people last year during open enrollment through the 14 counties. We try to have events at the libraries and the senior centers for people to come in and sit down with a Medicare counselor and just go through what might be their best option. We help people if they think they might have been a victim of Medicare fraud. We can go about sending that referral information to the Office of Inspector General here in Tennessee, as well as the federal government, and try to either recoup those expenses for that individual or help Medicare recoup those expenses.
So, gosh, I got so many questions. I'm going to forget them all. 35 employees, you said, total mm-hmm. in this area. Mm-hmm. Do you have any of those in counties, or are they all focused in Cookeville, and then they just go to where they need to go?
Most of them are here in Cookeville. We have a few that work from home, but they're still fairly close by.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do not have county offices like
right.
the Human Resource
right.
Agency.
Okay, right. I didn't know if the Development District had put maybe a person where right. the UCHRA employees were at or not. So, I got a couple questions. I'm sorry.
No.
You all are helping with inside stuff, you know, cleanings, mm-hmm. you know, sanitation stuff. Mm-hmm. What about outside? If somebody has a home, they have a yard from growing up, is that there as well? Or?
So, great question.
Okay.
That's right. Yes. So that's a service we refer to as CHORE.
Okay.
And that is a service that we are actually really wanting to get up and going, because that is a need. But we have yet to secure providers for that particular service category. We do have some agencies we contract mm-hmm. with that we've been talking about offering that service. So we're working on that.
Yeah.
But it's not in place just yet.
Gotcha.
But hopefully it
more
will be
to
before
come.
Too yeah. or too much longer.
Well,
yeah.
I appreciate you thinking about it. You mentioned Medicare fraud, Kelly. Mm-hmm. And so one of my not finer moments in my life, my grandma Rogers, my daddy's mama, mm-hmm. Lived right beside us, right? My parents, I grew up beside her. All I had to do is walk up the hill, you know, a tenth of a mile, go, and I'd be there for whatever. And so when her husband passed away, my grandpa passed away when I was a year and a half, but when her second husband passed away in 2005, you know, she's single. Mm-hmm. She's used to having somebody. My grandma could do it all. Besides drive, she didn't have a license. Never had a license.
Oh, wow.
It was really weird. But anyway, she could do it all. But she, you know, wanted a companion or whatever and somebody to talk to. So this guy starts calling her. She didn't find him. And was basically saying, I need financial help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my grandma didn't have hardly any money.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was living off a Social Security check, and she never had a job. She was a, you know, stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. farmer. She
right.
did, like I said, they did it all. So she wasn't getting much. She quilted, sewed quilts for her extra. So this guy, he's like, well, I'll just come by your house. I need $500. And she would not tell anybody. She didn't tell my mm-hmm. daddy. She didn't tell me. She didn't tell my Uncle Bill. And you probably remember my Uncle Bill, Holly. She didn't tell anybody. And so we find daddy's getting her bank statement, sees these withdrawals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And daddy, she's saying, take me by the bank. I need to get some cash
right.
out. And it's excessive. So finally she tells daddy about it, and not one of my finer moments. I picked up. I found the guy. She finally told me the name. I picked him up in the, out of the phone book, and I called him. And I said, oh. "Are you so and so?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Have you been talking to my grandmother?" "Well, yeah, we're talking. We're dating." I said, "No, you're not dating." And I said, "If I ever find you, I'll get that money out of you. I promise you."
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he hung up on me. And again, I don't threaten anybody, but this is my grandmother, my sweet grandmother,
right?
Who does how she? She's just alone. Mm-hmm. She wants a companion. The guy's ripping her off. Do you get phone calls from? Saying, I have this situation, or how do y'all counsel on that?
It's a couple of different ways. First of all, we try, if they come to us first or we find out, we make a referral to Adult Protective Services. That's the first thing we do. We are also, a couple of our programs are also members of the VAPIT team. Don't ask me what it stands for. I can never remember. Vulnerable Adults in Rapid Response. And so the DA's office is on there and a whole host of other agencies. And so sometimes, you know, they will, we have had those referrals and they have gone into law enforcement, and we've been fortunate that some have been prosecuted. Just because we've mentioned it, they have called our office. And so we just sort of have worked it down the chain, and we've been fortunate that some have been prosecuted and put in jail. We also have a state-funded public conservator program, and we have had some clients that have been financially exploited by others. And we've been proud to say that we were able to put a couple of those people in jail for exploiting our clients.
Well, so, thank you for that, because that was something that just went all over me.
Yeah. Right, and shame is the big, they feel so scared, and they feel like they don't want to talk about
Yeah, and I get that. So right quick, before y'all leave me, give me a story. Holly, we'll start with you. Give me a story from your childhood or waiting time about one of your grandparents or all of them, or good memory.
Well, so I will share a story about my grandmother. Oh my, there's so many that comes to mind, and they're running through my mind at 150 miles an hour, and I'm like, grab one and talk about it. So my grandmother, much like yours, it sounds like, Ben, she didn't, you know, she lived on a very limited income. She was single, and she had a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time at her house. I always wanted to be at grandma's. Anytime you walked in the house at grandma's, first question was, "Darling, are you hungry?"
Yeah.
Grandma always wanted to feed you.
I mean, all the time.
Always wanted to feed you. And I think that's part of the reason I have such a passion for food. Yep.
I know what mine is.
Part of the reason I'm overweight, I'm guessing.
And honestly, eventually led into going into nutrition and dietetics.
Yeah.
She, you know, part of her health problems were diabetes. And so I saw her struggles. You know, the food, she couldn't eat the things she wanted to eat. So she wanted to cook that food and see others enjoy it. And so,
Kelly, I got about 30 seconds.
My grandmother just would cook all the time. Like Holly's, would always ask, what do you want to eat?
Yeah.
And she would always have a plate of something when you walked in the door.
It was always good.
Yes.
Always good.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Kelly,
for being here.
Area Aging and Disability from the Velvet District through the state of Tennessee. This has been Rogers on Local Matters. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. We'll see you next time.